Wow. Hello, I'm the barrister, Stephen Barrett, and I believe I am live. And there are actually people watching this, which is even more impressive. Thank you very much indeed. I have no idea what I'm doing, so this will be a learning in progress. I'm sure my friend Maya Tusi is much more professional at doing this type of a stream, but I will just have to learn. I never really imagined that I'd be anything in British public life. I always sort of expected to just carry on being quite a boring lawyer, but we live in the times we live in. Hello to Vicky Liu, who's the first person to say anything to me ever on YouTube, not generally. Hello, Michael. You can put questions in the chat, and I will try and find them. Hillary has come from my Substack. We have a lovely Substack community called The Lovelies. We are genuinely nice people. We are a kind corner of the internet. That's the whole purpose of us. Goodness, there are loads of messages now. This is incredible. But as I told my Substack, they got an exclusive yesterday. I'm going to be on Talk TV 7 p.m. till 8 p.m. every Tuesday with Kevin O'Sullivan. So now you all know. And my Substack know, and I'll tell Twitter tomorrow. Because Twitter's such a nasty part of the internet. I really don't think it deserves to be told things as soon as possible. If people want to ask questions, I wonder how I'll pick them out. Don't worry, we'll find a way forward. I've also picked out all the questions that I could find from the note that I left. And that's quite a good place to leave questions. I wanted to start by talking about the Palestine protest, which is beyond distasteful. It's really rubbing salt into the wounds of those in our Jewish community who have suffered immediate grief. Two heroes died in Manchester, barring the door to let this monster get in and kill more innocent people. And that community is understandably hurt. I think we are hurt. I don't actually like the idea that only the community is hurt. As we develop our thinking, and I develop my explanations via videos, one of the concepts I intend always to return to is this idea that a victim is a bad concept for a society. If something happens in our society that is criminal and morally wrong or evil, then the entirety of our society is the victim. Okay, that's not it. Other types of systems exist. The Romans dealt with wrongs as wrongs against the individual. They didn't have the concept of wrongs against the state, whereas I think we do in a much more collective way, because we are one community. We are one country standing together. So I share the pain of Britain's Jewish community, and I'm sure many of us do. What happened is an absolute outrage and should never have been allowed to occur. It does look as though there are major police failings, and I want those looked into and dealt with, because that shouldn't be happening. And I really am very angry. Many of you have probably seen the video I did explaining why the Home Secretary is wrong, the Prime Minister is wrong, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner is a coward. They are allowing these hate marches to go ahead, and they are being performatively weak. I sometimes, in my darker moments, suspect that they quite like the idea that they're actually laughing at a bunch of hurt and upset people. But I just want to know that I am absolutely standing with British Jews, because they have suffered this attack. You know, this is when we all come together and do what we can. Shabbat, I mean, another concept I'll talk about as well, and getting rid of this idea of victim, which I think is not healthy for our society. I think it erodes a cohesion. Stephen, you will need some moderators. That sounds like a thing I might need. Hillary! I will have to talk to somebody about what they are. If are people saying nasty things? I can't see anything nasty. I've got a hello from Portugal, which is rather nice. And what does that mean? Some people have got crowns. Why? What does that mean? I have literally no idea what I'm doing. But these hate marches should not have gone forward today. They shouldn't have gone forward on the night of the attack. Our authorities are either weak or evil. There is only really two options for them now, and I'm fed up of trying to sort of pretend that they aren't. There is a massive, it's not really a conspiracy, it's just that everybody's aligned in their self-interests to believe the mantra of the state. And the mantra of the state is just gibberish. It's just nonsense. I can't fit in with it because it's irrational. So if you're a state thinker, if you are of the Fabian mindset, or if you're just Fabian aligned, or if you're just regime thinking, you think, oh, I've got to hide the fact that this was an evil Islamist attack. And it's like, why? Why can't we separate out Islamist extremists from decent Muslims? Why can't we do that? We must be allowed to do that. I feel with my own sexuality, because I'm openly that I'm bisexual, only to show that bisexual people are respectable. That's my plan. I don't need to ram it down people's throats. I don't go on pride marches. I don't need to, you know, decorate myself. It's just to show that we're respectable too. But I feel like we were lumped together with a wrong load of wrong'uns too. I think the letter soup with its plus symbol that doesn't mean anything. It is never defined. As a lawyer, I hate things that are never defined. So I felt like we were lumped together with a bunch of dodgy people. And I feel like Britain's mainstream Muslims are being lumped together with a bunch of dodgy people. And it's like all this nonsense about dogs. My two dogs, who probably kick off and become parts of the live stream at some point, they're sleeping now, have a very loving Muslim friend. That's just, please, Linda, please don't cut your hair ever. Well, I can't do a full-on Rapunzel, Linda. But I, just so everybody knows, with my ridiculous hair, it grew during lockdown. I'm a single dad. My child didn't want it cut. I figured nobody else really cares what a middle-aged man looks like. And we have a great tradition in as barristers of eccentricity anyway. I mean, Lord Sumption is fated for his brain the size of a planet, and he's got mad hair. So I just felt, well, if Lord Sumption can have mad hair, then I'll have mad hair too. And that's, you know, just be part of the... Oh, thank you, Sarah. That's really... really kind. Hit like and subscribe, important. Oh, people are giving me tips, which is brilliant, because I just, can we petition the team? Yes, I need to get onto this. Right, stop waffling, Barrett, start answering some questions, because we've got bucket loads and I'm probably not going to get through them all. Right, the first question says, dear Stephen, thank you for all you do. My question, how is it that all the damage that's being done to the country and the British people is not considered high treason? Is it not right to have to endure this madness until the next election? No. So there's a great myth that at the moment that we have to endure all of this until the next election, which is Parliament will formally be dissolved 5 years after it is created. Other forces can force Parliament to collapse. Our constitution is designed to force Parliament to collapse. It's really, at the moment, I think Parliament is sort of being kept alive by the sheer level of idiocy and mouth-breathing conformity displayed by Labour MPs. Once the constitution starts to function, those Labour MPs are supposed to panic. Okay, that's what the constitution expects them to do. They're just expected to sit there going, oh, goodness me, I'm going to lose my seat. Oh, my God, I'm going to lose my seat. How do I stop losing my seat? At which point they rebel against the government that is causing them to lose their seat. They either switch to other parties, which, you know, can absolutely happen. That's part of our constitution. Again, no political party has any right to exist. I'm very against the concept called PR, proportional representation, because, again, that is a conspiracy against the people. I believe in democracy. And I believe in the people, but the constitution is sort of designed to collapse a government that is this bad. And I think ultimately it probably is going to do so, but we're going to get on to this in the later questions. And you asked specifically about treason. I think we're going to have to revisit the treason law. And part of the regime think is that, let me explain it this way. Stephen, you can't possibly say that in public. That's the regime thing. Everybody who says to me, Stephen, you can't possibly say that in public. And I'll just say, I just reply to these people, is what I'm saying true? Yes, but you can't possibly say that in public. Right. So my entire existence is that I just refuse to live like that, because that's intellectually very, very dull. I would feel I was lying to people, which I'm not morally prepared to do. I don't want or wish to lie. And so I will not limit myself in what I say on the basis of, oh, you can't possibly say that to the people. Well, we can have treason laws back if we want them. And it's quite possibly you might want to revisit them. If assisted dying goes through, I think there's going to be massive scandals in the NHS. I think we will see industrial scale wrongful killing. And I would very strongly suggest that any human society that sees industrial scale killing of citizens by the state wrongfully is probably going to grasp for a treason law and probably going to want some prosecution. So I'm not going to not tell you things just because you can't possibly say that in public. By the way, I've been vaguely conscious of this in my entire life. When I was 23, I went to a lecture in what's called the Middle Temple, given by our then head of the civil service under the Blair era. And I asked him whether, and he was complaining actually about Blair's presidential style. And I said, well, in what circumstances would it be possible for Her Majesty, for it was Her Majesty, whom we will miss, for Her Majesty to simply refuse royal assent? And he immediately sort of exploded internally at this idea that that could actually happen. And it's part of our constitution. It can happen. It's very unlikely to happen. It's incredibly unlikely to happen. It requires a series of all sorts of events, but that doesn't make it impossible. And that it's not impossible that the monarch refuses assent. And if I were King Charles and I wanted to keep my throne, or if I were an eventual King William, so I was looking at a much longer term and thinking ahead and thinking, hang on a second, this assisted killing stuff is not in their manifesto. They're pretending it's a private member's bill when it obviously isn't. They haven't drafted it very well, as the House of Lords keep pointing out. It's obviously going to be a massive scandal. I'm going to refuse royal assent. And I might do that. And then there might be a constitutional crisis and everybody might scream in the press. And then I might go, okay, but I'm forced to sign this. I didn't want to. Everybody remember that. So constitutionally, that's why that might occur. Because then when there's a major scandal, and it will be when, not if, with assisted killing, when there's a major scandal, King William or a younger king would be able to point back and say, well, look, I didn't want to sign it. They literally made me sign it. They're the bad ones, not me. Go after them. And that would be quite a politically savvy thing for such a king to do. So there are all sorts of constitutional situations we might get to. And I'm not going to tell you what the establishment would tell you, which is that somehow we are too established as a human civilization to ever go back to treason laws. This is ridiculous. If you don't enforce, and I have a major theory with humans, which is that if you don't enforce something, it's probably going on. Okay, so if you don't pay it, it's because I have an ancient Victorian house, and I'm very conscious that any room I'm not paying attention to is probably got some problems. Any pipes I'm not aware of are probably leaking. You know, any electrics I'm not currently fixing are probably not in a good state. And that's how I see the country. That's how I think of the constitution. That's how I think we should think of ourselves as a polity, as a group. Oh, somebody has given me money, which is incredibly kind. Thank you. That is very much appreciated. Because this is about creating me as a safe brand who cannot be cancelled. Effectively, if I can make all of the various media parts work, then I would become uncancellable. And therefore, I can tell you things and I don't have to be captured in anything that I tell you. And I never have to mislead you. I never have to be forced to have a job and forced to shut up. I did actually take a job earlier this year. I immediately had to silence my Twitter account and put it under a lock. I wouldn't have done this if I'd stayed in that employment. I don't think that's going to work. I think is there a word for a non-practicing barrister, a free barrister? I would say I'm unregulated. Don't let anybody use it against me. I choose to be unregulated. That means I can't accept work and I don't tout for work. I don't ask for legal work. And I get offered it a lot, particularly via social media. And I have to disappoint people because I can't take on legal cases. The black belt barrister manages to carry on. But again, he's had to become like his own chambers, which is what I'd have to do. And it's because of the evil in our society, because we've built these complaint systems, which are exploited. Now, these are, oh, somebody else has. This is incredibly kind. Goodness. People are very, this is the thing. This is the absolute nub of why we're not going to go under as a country. And it's the Queen Mother knew it, and a politician called Benjamin Disraeli knew it, is that actually the ordinary people are the bedrock of our society. The so-called elite, it's very easy to corrupt them, for them to go completely off. They can just have a collective breakdown. There's not many of them. But most of us who get together, who just stay in the sort of normal world, we're very difficult to make us believe ridiculous things. Oh, from Gerard's Cross. Wow. I do meet people, by the way. I was in Spoons because I got into London early for a dinner with Claire Fox. And I was just in spoons, as you do. And a man came up and said, he watched me on Talk TV. And it's like, yes, when I tell people I like spoons, I mean, I can literally show you the app that ordinary people are going to keep this country safe and sound and not go bonkers. But right, Barrett, get back to the questions. Can't wait. What can we do about Starmer forcing digital ID? Now, this has elements to it, this question, that I want to explain flat out. A lot of the time on social media, people approach me and they say, Stephen, can you find a legal way to stop this evil government? And the short answer is no. And the short answer is really constitutionally important, because if I could, then the judges would be in charge and not you. You are in charge. Okay? Don't trust the judges to be in charge. I mean, I love them at what they do. I don't like, as people may well have noticed, the Bell Hotel Epping case, and I've got more to say on that. I think what the judge there did there was substitute his own political opinions, that's Lord Justice Bean, for the political opinions of the residents, and he put the safety and importance of migrants well above the safety and importance of residents, which is what you do if you ask judges to balance rights. That's what human rights asks judges to do, and that's inherently political. That's inherently asking him a political question. He was basically asked, which do you think is more important? The idea of shutting down this hotel, causing slight disruption to the government and inconvenience to migrants, or keeping the residents of Epping safe? And he said, I pick the migrants. It's an inherently political question. I want to take those away from judges. Take them all away. Out. Take them out. Not having it. Because if they don't have these powers, they can't abuse their powers. So when you ask me, is there a legal way to remove the government? What you're saying is, can any judge sack a prime minister? Right. And the answer to that is got to be no. You want it to be no. We all want it to be no, because what if Lord Justice Bean could sack prime ministers? What if he sacked Boris just because he wanted to? And this is the power that they took on themselves with that case Miller 2, with the spider lady. And I want everybody to know that I've sat. So I set up and ran for 14 years a charity helping kids from poor backgrounds accessing law and the Constitution. I'm very proud of the work I did. I'm very proud of the charity. And I'm very proud to say that Spider Lady, Baroness Hale, did support us and was a long-time supporter. And I've taken support from all sorts of people you might think I would not ordinarily get on with. One of the most obvious one is Emily Thornbury, who was great as a supporter of my charity. And I had the principle as a charity chair that we would be cross-party. So I looked for cross-party support and I got support from Conservatives. I don't think Reform existed at the time. I'm pretty sure Reform would have helped me. I'm not dissing Reform, but I got support from across the board. But one of the events that we did meant that I was in a bar with Baroness Hale, Spider Lady, and about 12 other people, and it's 10 p.m. and Stephen's going to tell the truth. So I just told her the truth. I just said what you did in Miller 2 was wrong. Thank you for everybody who's giving one. It's really incredibly kind. Does the UK have anything like the USA's smoke? No. And I need to talk about the USA being completely different. It's so funny. Our great constitutionalist Dicey, in his third edition, devotes an entire chapter to he just can't work it out. He's like, Britain and America are so culturally aligned. We all want basically the same type of life when you get back to it. I mean, not like we are now, we've all gone woke. But when you get back to it, we all want to live life, liberty and, you know, happiness, the pursuit of happiness, to be an individual, to be, as the psalm says, everybody shall sit under their own vine and fig tree and no man shall make them afraid. And that's what we all want. And those are symbolic. So the vine and the fig tree provide you with food. So everybody has their own little bit access to food. You know, it doesn't have to be a plot of land anymore because we can have jobs and everybody's got their own income. Everybody's got the safety of a house. That's what we should want. And the government can go away, leave us all be. And that's our pursuit. And Dicey quite rightly points out that both America and Britain want this. But we go about it in completely different ways. What's the point of parliamentary petitions? Newsy, that is a fantastic question. It's one of the written questions. So people are actually engaging more than I thought they would. So I'm going to engage more with the questions, not least of all because people are being so generous and I feel guilty. But please, if you wrote a question, what I will do is I've got them in a Word document and I will save the Word document. So if we do another one of these, possibly in 2 weeks' time, we will get through the written questions eventually. But what is the point of parliamentary petitions? Newsy, I think parliamentary petitions are there to neuter your constitutional power and strength. I think they are a con against the people. This is what PR would end up being. Okay, this is what the ID card will end up being, because I didn't finish my train of thought on that. But when I said that I, as a barrister, I, as a regulated barrister, received endless complaints and it just got depressing. It's just oppressive by the end of it. And I've got a mate's friend who is like the least offensive guy you could possibly imagine, who again is receiving just made up regulatory complaints because people are grumpy. The ID system is going to be like that on steroids. Okay, the ID system has a way for your neighbors to snitch on you. Or even people who aren't your neighbours, but just lie and say that they are. The entire thing will be utterly, utterly bent. It's going to be insane. So we shouldn't allow these systems whereby people can snitch on each other. Churchill was very, very scathing of this. He didn't like communism and he didn't like Nazism and he didn't like fascism, all types of left-wing politics. I'm just not even willing to argue this anymore. Go away. They are all the same. And he said that this sort of human society where children snitch on their parents, where the shopkeeper snitches on his rival to get a business advantage. You know, there's a great speech on this. And he says that these cannot survive contact with the healthy, free world. And all that shows you is that we're not part of the healthy, free world anymore. And sadly, not is the West. Because if we're bringing in this for digital ID, it will be abused against us. If you have views which are not regime views or not, you know, immediately aligned to the whatever the agenda is, you will be effectively cancelled by ID, and false complaints, baseless complaints will be enough to destroy you. The process is the punishment. And Newsy, that's a brilliant point about parliamentary petitions. They have taken your constitutional right to petition the king. Okay, that's your constitutional right, because the king has the power to dissolve parliament. And they have infantilized it. They've made it childlike. They have made it so that you just fill in. I don't know the fact they have to give all your private details to them. And you actually, and they're holding them. And do we trust them with any of this? But that's what they're going. That's what they've done. They've effectively neutered you. And then when they have this parliamentary petition, they make promises, but they don't keep them. They don't actually say. They say any petition over 1,000 will be debated. And then they go, oh, no, we're not going to do that one, obviously. It's like, what? So you need to take back your right to petition the king. And one of my Substackers, the amazing and brilliant Denise, has done this. And I hope more of you do. I want to talk more about how you take political action, because I think a lot of us feel very isolated. But wherever you live right now, you have local councillors. And they're a bit neutered by the system. And we saw when Reform got control of local councils and the CEO said no, that we're going to have to fight for democracy. It's not going to be easy. But if you contact your local councillor, I promise you right now, I don't care which party they're in, they're terrified of that about their next election. That's the great thing about democracy. It keeps our leaders absolutely scared of us. And if you organise a group of even 15 people, if you've got 15 local people in your what's called ward, then that is, a councillor is now terrified of you. Okay, now the councillor is going to listen to you fundamentally. This is what other people have cottoned on to. And it's, you need to organise and be active. I would start with your ward and your councillors and take up local issues. But I would then go to your MP. And believe me, every MP now is absolutely terrified. They look at that picture of a turquoise and yellow Britain. I mean, has everybody seen the picture from the latest polling where, you know, a small part of the country is Lib Dem and the rest of it is a turquoise wave? That will terrify all of them. So the more you can organise people locally, the more that you can form groups. I wouldn't necessarily do it on a party political basis, because I think you have a lot more sway with an MP, regardless of what their party is, if you come and say, look, we're just concerned residents. And a group of concerned residents can also write to your local press. Now, they, again, are in a bad way because under corporate socialism, there's no money in press and the press people are paid peanuts. So, of course, you've got a lot of far left activists, because only far left activists are so rubbish that they can't get a better job. So they have to work for peanuts. But you still have a local press. You can still use a local press, and you can do what I'm doing. You can use, I particularly would use Facebook. Okay, I recommend Facebook for all political activity. So don't look to lawyers like me. Don't expect any of us to ride in and save you. Although there's many who would pretend they can. and they will set up crowdfunders and they will take money off you to do X or Y case that is allegedly going to save. That's just rubbish. Absolute tosh. You, the people, have the power. And always when we fight tyranny, it's the people who have power. Do go and listen. You can either do one of two things. You can go on YouTube and find the original speech by Charlie Chaplin about dictators and dictators dying. Or you can listen to Iron Sky by Paolo Nutini, which clips the speech into it. But it's a fantastic speech either way. I have emailed my local MP. They ask for my full name and address, which I get, but they don't. It's usually against me criticizing the government. Mickey, you've just got to man up. And also, take strength in each other. Find community. Go to your pub. You know, go to your church. Find people, or however or wherever you worship. But just find people and up your numbers. If you don't feel empowered as one, then become two, and then become four, and then just keep growing. Where's the count? Thumbs up. Keep up the good work, Mr. Merritt. Yay! Yes, I think it's doing quite well. I think it's higher than 1,200, but. I don't really know what I'm doing. So, right. Are there any more questions in the chat that I can see? I don't know. Hit the like button. Yes, please. Hillary, more than one question. This is an in-joke from our Substack because we're just a lovely community. Did I hear something was fine? 75? I put the envelope question. Yes. The envelope put in a bin. That is the most ridiculous use of police time I have ever seen. And it's because we are morphing into a communist society. That's what it is, where the people are policed and the criminals are not. Okay. And they always do this because it creates fear. It keeps you in line. It stops you organizing. Eventually, they like these people just ban meeting together. They like ban meetings in rooms, or people cannot gather in groups of more than four. Thank you very much for calling me five star. That's very nice. How can you sack a judge? Neil says you can use Parliament because Parliament can do anything. So people often ask me about the Constitution, and I should say, why is our Constitution so different from that of the United States? Well, I would say this. The Constitution of the United States requires a constitutional document and then a series of amendments and then a series of judgments of the Supreme Court to understand it. Our Constitution requires one sentence. Parliament is sovereign. Full stop. That's all you need. If you know that, you don't need to know anything else. So traditionally, to sack a judge or a high court judge, we said that we needed a motion of both houses of commons, and that's how it's been done. Really, that was more an optics thing. That was a political choice of then, and we certainly don't need it now. The entirety of the Law Lords was sacked overnight by an act of Parliament. The fact that they were then reemployed as Supreme Court justices meant nobody complained, but they were sacked overnight by act of Parliament. Act of Parliament is how you sack a judge, because Parliament is sovereign. Is the government using Crime and Corporate Transparency Act to force directors to register for digital ID? Yes, Daryl, it is. And as mad as it sounds, we all have to come together and look after the company directors. Because not surprising, you know that poem, first they came for the blah and I said nothing. First they came for the blah. If you order the, it's because they're not popular. And so they're just doing it again. They're just doing that whole process again. Company directors are not popular. Nobody marches in defense of company directors. But if we don't protect the company directors, it'll be us who are next. And actually, it won't be us who are next. The next ones are the kids. So the next ones they're pushing through in part of the education so-called reforms is that they're effectively going to put controls, digital controls on children, which I think is absolute madness. And that's what we need to fight. And again, people will march to protect children, but if they say that this is to defend children, then just like with the digital, the stupid Control of the Internet Act. I can never remember the name of it because they keep naming things in a stupid way. I said this with Claire and she had to tell me the name, but I'm also middle-aged, but the reaction is what you need to watch. The way that when Nigel said this is really bad law and it's really bad law is, oh, Nigel likes paedophiles. What? Totally outrageous reaction. Okay, and this is just a matter of control. Question, should we look to try the voting system? No, we should stick with first past the post because it's honestly the only system that works. Everything else is a conspiracy against the people. Somebody was saying to me, oh, but the problem with first past the post is that if you get 40% of the electorate, you're effectively in, can do what you want. And I was like, yes, but the problem with PR is that if you get 30% of the electorate, you can effectively do what you want. That was Hitler. Hitler didn't get 40%. Hitler would not have happened under first past the post. So you simply don't let them institute such systems that created Hitler. I oppose now because we are effectively the Weimar Republic. And you'll see that in the sexual degeneracy. I'm very sorry to say that because I'm quite a conservative, small C conservative man. But we are going to, I'm afraid, be pulled through all sorts of shocking things that we don't want us to see because they're trying to outrage us. And we see the law effectively collapsing because it's so flabbily and badly written. We see out of control liberalism. Basically, I want to do this so you can't stop me. And then that how that morphs in a society, people refusing to accept basic decency. You'll get this with the videos played on trains. It's all part of the same thing. This is all part of state collapse. We must restore a democratic free state. That's what we need to get back to. Worst is, except from all the others, exactly, Churchill. Thank you very much. And thank you for that tip, Debs. I suppose I should see them as tips. Are the government police accommodation suppliers and food suppliers breaking the law in aiding and abetting illegal migration, hence trying to normalise the term irregular migration? Well, the problem is, Andrew, that the government has crown immunity. So it's very difficult to sort of prosecute them. But I think we will look back on these times and say, what on earth were we doing? Because they don't hold up any muster, do they? Filling migrants with dangerous young men. And I don't care what ethnos they are. Young men who have time on their hands, no, you know, rigorous training in our morality and how we work as a system and our laws are a threat. They are just a threat. And we will, I think, look back on this as a time of madness. And as I hinted to at the beginning, I think we will flip towards wanting to punish those who did it. I really think it's mad that people are still supporting all of this. That it's so obviously going to end badly for the current elite. And I find them sort of vaguely odd. I tease a friend. I've got a friend who still thinks I'm slightly controversial. And it's like, you have no idea. By the time the Overton window has shifted, I'm going to be considered an ultra-conservative who wasn't radical enough. The idea that we're going to stick with this communist oppressive evil, which is a threat to our children, a threat to our women. You know, this is just insane. Human beings will not live like this. And one of the great things, one of the reasons I don't get embarrassed or worried about being called a racist is because I'm not a racist. And I think human beings are universal. No humans would live like this. What humans would accept this? This is not, you know, humans are just a socialized ape. We lost our outer fur. Okay, that doesn't make us robots. We're still just a creature that needs to protect its young and protect its weak members and stay as a community of us. And the outside people are the outside people. Now, the fact that we're a diverse Britain doesn't mean that there isn't still that line between inside people and outside people. There always is. That's a natural part of any human society. Go anywhere on the planet and you'll find that. People are sovereign. Well, yes, I mean, in theory, but we live under the constitution whereby parliament is sovereign. I mean, the power lies with the people, ultimately. No, we do have a constitution. That's just not helpful. Yes, we're going to have to defend the company directors. No right to remain silent. It's called civilized. Yeah, exactly. So we're just getting back to the idea of being civilized. Stop. Oh, I just messed with my hair. This is the thing. Judy gets really mad at me for playing with my hair. And it's like, if I played with my hair when my hair was short. I don't understand the argument. I don't play with my hair because my hair is long. I just play with my hair. That's what I do. I think it stimulates my follicles or something. It cools my head down, probably. I'm probably just getting too hot. If I get too hot, I can't really think. Right. Back to the questions. I can't really see any. Oh, wait. No, there's one. Good. Right. Can't the king be sued to dissolve parliament and hold a general election? No. And that's very important, too, because we don't want the king to be capable of being sued, because that means that a judge is in charge. The king can be pressured by the people. And that's what you doing a petition and using social media and making noise is all about. Our system relies upon you making noise. That is, it's that basic. And if the king gets to the point where he starts to think that not dissolving parliament is a threat to him, the king will dissolve parliament. Okay, we run ourselves on such a sort of basic operating system. It's pure sort of survival self-interest. And I think it's very, and the Queen Mother knew this, and this is why she openly and without question sided with the working class. The awful king who had to step down and his awful wife mocked her for her entire life. They called her Cookie and said that she looked like the cook. That's what they meant. And they meant that cooks were bad people. So what they're doing is basically sneering at working class people. And the Queen Mother never got offended by being called Cookie and just took it on the chin and was just like, I'm more than happy to be with a cook. What's wrong with a cook? And the Queen Mother got this, that you just don't turn your back on the ordinary people, because ultimately power lies with him. Any news on reporting Darwin to the police? No. Liverpool, Merseyside police are completely ignoring it. I mean, I think that's probably why they did it in Merseyside. But I do think it's disgraceful, and I will just continue to call it out. They didn't have an answer to me. And they do see what I post, you know, right? They're not immune to me. They can't. And that's like us. When I say that you have power, if you write to your MP and your MP doesn't reply, it doesn't mean they haven't read it. It doesn't mean that they're not scared of you. It just means that they're hoping you will go away. And if you don't go away, now don't harass them. There are laws and rules and everybody behave decently. And I advise the Pink Ladies. I'm in touch with them about giving them legal advice. And I'm genuine when I advise them to take chocolate digestive biscuits, because how can any police officer say that you're being threatened and harassed if I'm offering you a free biscuit, officer? Dear officer, would you like a biscuit? You are being terribly threatening and intimidating to me. I don't think I am, officer. I'm just offering you a biscuit. And just be terribly sort of charming. Don't be confrontational with your MP, but do engage with politics and don't let anybody put you off. Albania has an AI chatbot cabinet minister now. Yeah, and I think that's because these people, they're advised by Tony Blair. The guys who did this are in with Tony Blair. They hate democracy, so they want to demean and insult you. And what could be more insulting and demeaning to democracy than an AI government minister? They're literally just trying to sneer at you. And sneering worked for a long time. I mean, I'm actually quite ashamed of myself. I hid my faith for quite a long time because I was worried that effectively the Fabians and the Fabian aligned people would sneer at me, because they did sneer at people who were openly Christian. So I went, oh, I best not say I'm Christian then. Oh, dear. And I was a coward too. And now I've just got to shed all this and get rid of all of this. We cannot be controlled by sneering. I'm not going to be controlled by somebody saying that I'm a racist when I know I'm not racist. For 14 years, I've mentored children from poor backgrounds in this country, which, believe you me, means they are as diverse as anything. And I see them as my second children, and I have them in jobs across the city and across the country as barristers and solicitors. I am deeply proud of all of them, and they are all utterly British, and that is what they are. You know, this idea that we ever were racist, I like to, increasingly I say it in public, it only works if we are racist. If you actually find a bunch of racists, you know, like a bar full of racists or something, and you went in and you went, you people are racist. They go, yep. Yes, we are. Because that's what they be. They accept this ridiculous ideology. They believe this nonsense. They're proud to be racist. It only worked to control us because we're not. Buy gold while you can. Well, I think the economy's in for a terrible, terrible time. That's why they've pushed the budget back till the 26th. Of November. It's the latest it can go. I think we're looking at serious financial collapse. Just know, Germany after the war was in a terrible state, and it did get out of it. We will get out of whatever we get ourselves into. I'd like to avoid getting us into it as much as we can. And I think that's something that we all have a part to play in. And the more we wake up, the more we say things, the more we engage politically, the more we write to our councillors and our MPs, the more we make our voices known, the more we can just genuinely get involved with stuff. They listen. So, you know, even calling talk TV is a worthwhile thing to do. If you can get your message across, you can get your opinion through. They do actually listen a lot more than people think. One of their great control mechanisms is to listen and say nothing, because that's very powerful. Silence is a very powerful control technique to use around humans. Humans will actually, if you go silent, they will think that they've done something wrong, or that they shouldn't have done it, or that you're not going to. And it's just a way of controlling people. I worked in a company where the MD would constantly use silence. And I used to make him laugh because I was just like, oh, you're using silence again. Because I'm just hypersensitive and notice all of these things. But again, smearing you, insulting you, using silence, that doesn't mean they're not scared of you. It doesn't mean that you're not powerful. You are powerful. We need to make a group organization. Well, that's a thing, isn't it? I don't see myself as a political leader. I see myself as a lawyer who can explain things to the public in a time when it's very difficult to explain things. And I mean that genuinely. I genuinely mean that a lot of our lawyers, a lot of them are silent because they are Fabians or they believe in the nonsense. But the vast majority of them are just going along with it because they don't want to lose their job. And frankly, the law is so complicated, they don't want to admit that the law is really complicated. That even they find it hard now, because up has become down and black has become white, and you know, an orange is an orange sometimes, except when it isn't. And how do you as a lawyer deal with that? How do you navigate that without, I mean, it used to make me sick. I'm like, not like sick with anger, like dizzy and nauseous, because the law is just, it's just awful. If I actually practice, I throw rocks at Ofcom and the Communications Act 2003, but I'm glad I wasn't in it. I practiced in other areas of law that were a lot safer. If I'd actually had to practice in Ofcom, if I was Ofcom's in-house lawyer, I probably would have called in sick, just because it's just tech. I can't deal with the stress of this. I don't know. What is due impartiality? I don't know. You know, what is it? I don't know. And so they get stressed and stressed and stressed to the point where they just then go along with effectively the Fabian line. Well, if the Fabians say it is this time, it's not impartial. If the Fabians say GB News is not impartial, then GB News is not impartial. If the Fabians say ITV is impartial, then ITV must be impartial. They're sort of traumatized. There's a level of trauma that we need to talk about. I'm concerned about a sister dying. Yes, so am I, Leslie. And Spooky Spoon, hello, it's very nice. It's spread our voices. Yes, exactly. This stream will spread out. Thank you very much to everybody who has donated. I'm going to carry on to do the full hour, I think. I haven't done any breaks, and I don't know if that's the thing I'm supposed to do. But I'll ask Maya one day and he'll tell me. He's, by the way, just started his YouTube on Twitter. The world we live in. Don't know anything about all of this. Douglas, love your channel. I'm a mixed race Englishman. English is like baking a cake. You can't have anything the same. Some things must be more, some less. Yes, and I just don't like having English ethnicity wiped out, because we recognize every other ethnicity. I consider myself ethnically English. I'm always conscious of the phrase non-Angli sed Angeli. Not because it's very flattering to Anglo-Saxons. It means it was a pope who said that, Pope Gregory. He said not, he was asked, who are those people? They all had blonde hair. I have blonde hair, I just have dark blonde hair. My child has very blonde hair and would not have blonde hair if I didn't. Who are those people with that amazing hair? And he was told, you know, your eminence or whatever they called him, they are the Angles. And he just said, no, not Angles, angels. And I like to remember that because it's very flattering, but I also like to remember that those people that he was pointing to were being sold as slaves in the slave market in Rome. So my ethnicity has a story, and it's not always been happy. The Normans invaded, nicked everything, and threw us in oubliettes. I'm still a bit spiky around Normans. I don't, you know, I forgive their ancestors, obviously. But, you know, I'm conscious that that is what happened. And for, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, Anglo-Saxons were effectively oppressed. What we did, what our constitution did, was through a gradual and continual rebellion, I'd call it, over 800 years, we got our country free. Okay? And that's the achievement that I want to protect. I don't want to take away the freedoms that we fought and everybody fought so hard to get. Right. Didn't really change our DNA though. Exactly. But the other thing is, I'm not sure that being English requires you to be ethnically English, which is why these people can sort of use that fact to try and erase the English ethnos, which I just don't know. I just don't know. Barrister, how about organising a petition to get the King to dissolve Parliament? Well, I think it has to get... So, Phil, thank you very much for that and for the donation. All very much appreciated. I think things probably have to get worse before they'll get better, because we as a people are very slow to really push back. And I also think that the protest has to be organic. It can't, I'm not necessarily sure it can be organized, because I think, again, it will look a bit fake. As in, I literally see the king bending to more things like the mail. Oh my God, they've actually started sending letters. So we don't get any post anymore. We don't get any mail anymore. They've actually started writing in, and here's the post back. It's very hard to ignore when you get to that level. You know, this, when I talk about the way that they've infantilized you with this easiness, this seductively easy online system, which they can then just easily ignore. Very hard to ignore bag after bag of letters. I mean, it really is. You know, and I think even 100,000 letters is more impressive than a million clicks on a doodah. Thank you, Daryl, for donating. That's very much approved. Very much. Thank you very much. I do think people are being incredibly kind. I do think YouTube is going to work, which is good. For years, I was worried it wouldn't, but it looks as though it's going to work. Not least of all, because I've only got through about two questions so far. Would digital ID be classed as a new slavery? I think it is a new slavery, yes. I think it absolutely is. It's one of the many reasons I absolutely rebel against it. The state has no duty being in our lives. You know, ultimately, we accept a degree of criminality in this country because, you know, we know that there are brothels. We know that there's drug taking. We know that there's some criminality. I think there's too much now, and we need to do something about it. But ultimately, we're always going to accept a degree of it because we don't. The alternative is that the government just puts us all in prison. Now, digital ID is even worse. It puts all of us, the decent people, in prison and leaves the criminals to run riot. That's absolute madness. Celebrate their first super. I have a first super on live stream, and that's Nicola. I have no idea what it means, but I'm very proud of Nicola, and she gets a flying pear, it looks like. And I'm very pro pears. I'm a big fan of Perry cider. People forget that cider may, I'm gonna go whoosh now, but I'm gonna pay attention to Janet's question. We're not gonna get my, I'm adopted, and my dad gets slightly perplexed if we watch Clarkson's Farm, because I will just go full Gerard. My dad's from Manchester. And he just doesn't, it's just like, what are you even saying? And he's like, well, I'm just doing rural South Worcestershire and North Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire are all very similar places. So we all have a very similar accent, but I must not do it. Stephen, is it lawful to have non-Indigenous English people in our parliament? Yes. The 1689 Constitution Bill of Rights. It's lawful. We never controlled people by ethnos. We controlled people briefly by way of religion. We always saw religion as more of a threat than ethnos. We've never really been a racist country in that way. We've never really seen racism in that way. When the Americans came during the war, everybody was very happy with them. But there are countless times that, like, the commanding officer of the local base would go to the pub and say, you've got to stop serving my black servicemen. And the landlord would quite rightly say, you can go forth and multiply, mate. I'm going to serve who I like. And by the way, they seem very nice to me. My own granny told tales of desperately enjoying jazz dancing with the black American soldiers who came over during the war. We've never really separated on an ethnos basis. We did have rules against Catholics. That's because for a very long time, particularly in Central Europe, Catholics and Protestants were killing each other. We came up with a marvelous fudge, which is where we say that the Church of England is a Catholic church. The Church of England is a Catholic church. It's just reformed. So we don't have to do what Rome says, but we're still a Catholic church. And then we have this amazing phrase from the 17th century, which is such a clever one. Which we just said, we passed laws stopping Catholics being king and stopping them being in parliament, which is why Tony Blair had to hide his Catholicism. I don't know if we need to be that afraid of it anymore, but we just had this marvelous phrase, which is, there is no Catholic in trade. And it became a principle of being English then and British later that we would trade with anyone. If you've got stuff and we want the stuff and we can sell you stuff, or you want to buy our stuff, we love you. We don't care who you are. There's no Catholic in trade. We just want to do trade. And trade, because this is why I'm often call myself a first century Roman, because the Romans had exactly the same concept. They never really split along ethnic lines. And the current Marxists who are obsessed about ethnicity and racism because they want to bring back identity politics keep trying to mention that there was a Roman emperor called Septimius Severus, and he was born in what was called then Africa Proconsularis, which is now Tunisia. And they keep saying, oh, he was black. And they can't prove it because the Romans didn't care. Romans didn't care. They didn't care if he was black. They were like, yeah, but he was quite a good emperor. That's what we want. Are you a good emperor or not a good emperor? We don't care about your ways. And this a concept of no Catholic in trade expanded out. We became the first, the English were the first Western European nation to trade with the Turks. All the others said that they couldn't possibly talk to the Saracens. They were demons. They were, you know, Islam, and that we can't possibly talk to them. And we just went, yeah, but they got stuff. And we want to sell them stuff. And they like to buy the stuff. And so trade is a great... a bringer of peace among human beings. It's a great way for us to forget our differences and find something we like about somebody. You know, it's very easy because you've done this, and I expect many of you will have this. If somebody is a client and they are paying you money, it's very easy to find something you like about them. It's so much easier. If somebody's your neighbor and they're irritating you, it's very easy to find something that you hate about them. But, oh, thank you, Tony. That's very, very kind and appreciated. I will get to your question. Question, isn't it unlawful to have a ruling party that has an elegant allegiance to a secret society? Is it like the Pope doing something like devil worship? No, well, see, this is the problem. The Fabians are in plain sight. So they get to say, we're just a think tank. We're just an ideology. We're just, you know, trying to push communism. So I think what we do is we don't really want fixing the problem now is much easier because the Fabians are in plain sight. If they were genuinely secret, it'd be much harder to call them out. Now, I still got, when I started talking about them and others started talking, we still got a huge amount of pushback from people. Journalists still tried to pretend that we were mad conspiracy theorists. It's like, it's literally on our website. How am I not being a conspiracy? It's there. So Fabians actually, by not hiding it, have made it slightly easier for us to see. I think going forward, we need to look at some of these rules and thoughts. There's a very interesting lines by Bertrand Russell about how Bolshevism, which is Marxism, Fabian's just another type, it's just another flavor of Marxism. I get so bored of all these. They're always falling out with each other. They're like your party. So they just keep falling out. So they invent different types of socialism and Marxism. And then they all claim that the other one isn't really socialism. It's absolutely pathetic. They're all splitters. Monty Python got them down to a T. But Bertrand Russell said, you know, you should see it as a religion. And whether we have rules against these types of things going forward, and the Americans had rules against communism when they felt threatened by it, arguably they got rid of their rules and arguably communism came back. How we want to be as a society will be for us to deal with once we are fixed. And again, this is why I don't see myself as a political leader. I see my job really as a fundamentally legal one. And at the moment, my job, I have two things that I need to do really in society, in British society. The first is to answer, can we do this, with the word yes, every single time? Because the simple fact is, with a sovereign parliament, you can do whatever you want, and you can, we can, through the democratic process, get together and collectively agree how we all want to live. So the answer is yes. And any lawyer, a lot of the other lawyers were saying no all the time. No, you can't do this because of that law. You can't do this because of that law. And my job is to explain why you can. And sometimes that gets complicated. Sometimes it's very simple. But I just, that's my job, to say yes, to allow political policies to happen. Whether they should or not is for you. I don't think that's for me. I have a second role in our society that I just want to flag before the end. In Germany, the Weimar Republic got so complicated and its laws were so bonkers that effectively you started to get state collapse just by complexity. And the answer to this was a German lawyer who was not put on trial at Nuremberg. I would have put him on trial at Nuremberg. He actually lived a full life, which I find disgraceful. But he came forward and he said, ah, well, the problem is that you keep talking about the rule of law. Well, the rule of law can vest in one man, and that will be Hitler. And the rule of law can be what, so the law will be whatever Hitler says it is. And that's how laws will now be made. Whatever Hitler says is law. If Hitler says it's not law, it's not law. Right. I exist in our society to stop any bonkers academic or lawyer who emerges who says that we could ever do that. I emerge to say, no, Parliament is sovereign. No, Parliament. That's what I'm there for, to stop that madness. As far as I'm concerned, and the reason I wanted him prosecuted at Nuremberg is that I think that the blood of those who died is on his hands for saying that. I mean, the Weimar Republic had a very, it's not true. In the law of the Weimar Republic, it was not true. So it was a lie, if not an, I'm just going to call it a lie. But I exist, and the faith that the public has in me means that I can, if somebody stands up and tries this bonkers stuff in our country, I can go, no. And I can explain it, and people will hopefully believe me. And as I grow, that's part of why I want to see it. I know, Brian, the people are ultimately sovereign, but I have to say that Parliament a sovereign because that is our constitution. Hey, that's the structure that we live in. But the people are sovereign through Parliament. That's, we are all connected to each other. Petitioning America regarding the madness that are being forced. Maybe I should just say in the closing minutes that I deeply, deeply respect our American cousins and brothers and sisters. I am overwhelmed at the support that they've shown us. This regime genuinely loves us. And I think it's quite shocking for a lot of us because we're so used to having politicians who don't like our country. Let's just say it. We are. It's not odd. Yeah. It's like when Keir Starmer says, how dare you, I curse me, I'm not loving my country. It's like, because we all know you don't, mate. You're like, all right, bollard. Yeah, thanks. We don't think you're genuinely a patriot just because you waved a plastic flag. But the Americans genuinely love our country. And I sometimes get overwhelmed by it. Elon has genuinely shed tears for the rape gang victims. You know, it's not just Trump. J.D. Vance loves our country. And I've talked to people in the administration. I've been lucky enough to have met them. And they love our country. It's incredible the support that they're giving us. And I'm emotionally moved by it. I adore America for it. I will never, ever forget that America came to us in what I consider to be our time of need again. And they are genuinely rooting for us. They've got their own problems and they can't run us, but they have our back. And it's incredible, incredible to have that support. I will never, never not thank them for it. I genuinely just thought nobody cared about us and we would have to fight on our own. So it gives me great emotional strength that the Americans support us. Now, Lord Petrelhead has donated money, which is very kind. I think he's now king. Is he king? Is this how the system works? If signing a petition, as you mentioned, to waste of time, could you send protest letters? Yes, send protest letters to the king. Send protest letters to the king. The benefit of the online petition is that you get the numbers, but the fact that they can just override it at will or ignore it or do what they did in this case, which is just rubbing our noses in it. You know, petition 2.7 million, 2.8 million people don't bring in our digital ID response. We will bring in digital ID. Right. You're just psychos. OK, I mean, we need to start talking about psychopaths again. That's another thing we need to start talking about. Blair created this idea that 100% of the electorate have to be on your side. You have to be popular with everybody. Well, if you have to be popular with everybody, you're under someone's control because somebody's going to realize that you just want to be liked and they're going to refuse that like to give you that dopamine hit because then they can control you. And we need to get back the idea that actually there are a proportion of bad people in our country, a proportion of them. It's not all of us. The majority of us are perfectly good and decent. Thank goodness. But we need to get back the idea that there are just bad people. And you don't listen to bad people. As I say, I exist within this letter soup, although many of us have pulled back to LGB because we just don't want to go any further. That's very sad to the genuine transsexuals. I have a mate who is an old school transsexual who always admits he's a man. But, you know, he doesn't claim because he's old school. But these people just, we had to cut there. But there's a darkness coming. There are dark people in our society that we don't want to be anywhere near. And they can't be given treated well. I mean, how the Labour Party allowed anti-Semitism to fester in it. They must have known it was there. They can't have not known that this racism was there. And they just let it fester. And now you've got, like, I'm more on friendlier terms with Rosie Duffield than the Prime Minister is. This little poor Labour MP hounded out for knowing what a woman is. And she's got nothing politically in common with me. It's like how I'm so close to Claire Fox, and yet technically I'm a Tory in the old school sense. I don't like to be party political these days because I think we've gone beyond it. think all the decent people of Britain need to unite, regardless of what political, you know, little differences we have, and agree the basics of fundamental decency. And probably the 10, 15, maybe 20% of us who are just dodgy, who are wrong-uns, who do not and cannot run the show anymore. And the problem is our police are pandering to wrong-uns. Funky Junkie says, thanks for all the knowledge you give us. Keep up the good work. Being a single dad, thank you. That is the most important thing I do. And all of those of you who are donating money, you know, I don't live an extravagant lifestyle. I mean, I had a fancy dinner, but Claire paid for it and it was all done through donors. So I enjoyed a fancy lifestyle. But, you know, the next day I was down spoons. My money goes to support my family, and I am, you know, I'm very proud of being a single father. I'm very proud of the child I have created and still educating and bringing up, and that we are a happy, loving family with two dogs, one of whom is congenitally badly behaved. That's a beagle. I own a beagle and a Labrador. Never get a beagle. I have to say it quiet because I love her, and she is mine, and she's closest to me, and she is. I do love her, but she is naughty. They're actively naughty. Labradors do bad things, but they don't mean to. Like, he's trying to be good. She is. How do we send letters or petitions to the king? You write them. I really think, thank you, that's why I think my last donation, and I think we'll end this session soon. You write them and you address them to his address. Probably for security reasons, they'll all go somewhere else. But the state will realise that something is going on if there are bags and bags of letters. Send a postcard. Be nice. Be charming as well. Always, always, always be charming. I know we're angry, but part of our weapon is to not let our anger infect us, because we can overcome all of this and we will overcome all of this. I literally think that if you got sort of, what are they going to do? If 10,000 people start in a northern location and march down to London, armed only with cake, picking up others along the way who wish to protest, and they march to Downing Street saying, Prime Minister, we demand to see you. We've got no weapons. We're not in any way scary. We're perfectly respectable people, and we brought you cake. What's he going to do? What? How do you? And that's what, you know, when we talk about revolution, which we always say that the French are good at it. And it's not true. The French are very good at having a riot, but they don't actually get effective results. We got effective results constantly by doing things like that. Just things a bit different, things off the wall that they can't just say, you're all criminals, so we're going to, you know, shoot you. Well, that's the worst the state could do. We're marching with cake. We brought you some cake. Can we meet with you, Prime Minister, because we have these concerns? So, yes. Thank you to everybody supporting me. This is the first time I've ever done this. I'm really grateful that people donated money. I'm slightly amazed, actually, that people donated money. I really can't get over that. I'm really touched. I hope the channel goes on to great success. If you're interested, we have a smaller community where we do know each other in the Substack. I don't know if that's going to be possible here because YouTube is just so big. Where Substack is quite little. But again, you will see me out and about tomorrow. As an exclusive to you all, I'm going on Josh Howie on GB News. So I'll be in studio tomorrow evening. And I'm just absolutely bowled over by the support. Thank you, everybody. Carry on having a lovely weekend. Bye.